This is Sports Saturday on Sports Radio 810 WHB.
That is intro music as requested by one Ben Kirchhoff from CBSSports.com. Ben, have you ever been to Panama?
No, I haven't.
Would you like to go to Panama someday? Great. I just want to go see the canal. I want to see what all the fuss is about.
This is going to sound super like ignorant American, but if you've seen one canal, like have you seen them all?
Probably. I've never been to the Erie Canal either, but I assume it's the same idea, just water being
I guess the idea is just be worldly, right? Be traveled.
Yeah, there you go. Now you nailed it. You don't want to go just see the canal. Hey, I was in Panama. While I was in Panama, I just happened to stop by and see the canal. They moved an aircraft carrier through there. I don't know if they can get a boat that big through there, but something
I feel
like
if you go to Panama, the canal has to be, like, number 10 on the list of things that you did. Like, you should probably go do some illegal things in Panama. Like, you should there should be some stabbings or something. Like, there should be a lot happening in Panama that you go off
well,
and do.
I
and then, like, you're like, oh, by the way, I went and saw the canal.
While I was there, I just happened to stroll by and check out the canal. I'm assuming you can walk up to anybody on the street and just say the word, like, canal with a question mark, and they'll just point, and then you're off to the canal.
Yeah.
I didn't know that's where we were going to start this conversation, but our conversations generally go in different tangents, and that's okay. By the way, you're listening to Sports Saturday, Sports Radio 810 WHB. My name is Brad Porter. We're broadcasting live from Nebraska Furniture Mart at the Legends in KCK. A lot of games and giveaways today I'm going to tell you about. We're speaking with Ben Kirchhoff from CBSSports.com. Does a great job of covering college football. Ben, where do I start with this lead story here? This is how I'm going to do it, okay? It's 10 a.m. on a Saturday. We're at a Nebraska Furniture Mart. There's a lot of kids walking around. There's probably kids in the car on their way out here with their parents. So I'm going to put this story as delicately as I can because it's on the front page of every – name a front page, a web page, the story is on here. So Zach Smith, the assistant football coach at The Ohio State University, who was fired a couple of weeks ago after revelations of long-term domestic abuse, and some details came out about that that were pretty pathetic for a person in his position to be involved with. But now the story comes out, and again, Brett McMurphy – breaks this story that apparently Zach Smith was having, let's say, adult items sent to the office, which how does Urban Meyer or anybody else know that he's having these things delivered to the office? I don't know. The disturbing part of this story is he was sending pictures to his wife, ex-wife, of various activities he was involved in, both in his own office or in the football office, and also a certain photo that he took of himself in the bathroom at the White House while Ohio State was there to celebrate the national championship. You can go read all the details. I'm not going to say it out loud because it's gross. It's disgusting, this story. But, Ben, I wake up every day and think, what am I going to find most disturbing today? What's the thing that's going to make me say, my God, the humans, what's happening to us? Here's the story, and it's Zach Smith at Ohio State.
Yeah. This is, as I like to say, this is taking a hard left, you know, pretty quick.
Oh, boy.
Yeah.
Oh, boy.
I think last time I'm sitting there going, like, well, you know, at best he's kind of a shady guy. Now that's, like, seems like the best case scenario. That's really not even a talking point anymore. I mean, obviously, Zach Smith, even some of these items are true. You guys got some problems. You know, he got some mental problems. And look, I'm not even going to 100% dog the man for the items that he had sent to the Ohio State, office. I mean, look, your personal life is your personal life. I'm not gonna go there. Although I find it extraordinarily ill-advised to have certain toys at all sent to your place of business.
Right.
Yeah, that doesn't seem too bright. But that's as you know, a little as off-putting as that might be, that's sort of maybe the least concerning factor here. To me, the thing that seems maybe most relevant to Ohio State is this alleged, I guess if the timelines match up, it seems like it'd be an extramarital affair if he was still technically married to Courtney Smith, with an Ohio State staffer who's no longer there. That would seem to be maybe of interest to Ohio State as they wrap up this investigation. I don't know what role that would play because it's supposed to be done on Sunday, and this thing breaks at about 6 p.m. on a Friday night. And in particular,
This isn't getting done by Sunday. When they set that artificial 14-day investigation timeline, we all knew that was not going to be the case. You can't set a timeline for an investigation. This is not going to be done tomorrow.
You know, that's sort of funny because it's like yes and no. Like on one hand, there's only a finite number of people that you really need to talk to. It's not like the branches of this extend super far. So if you kind of know generally who you want to talk to, you can set like, okay, we anticipate this would probably be done within, X time. Now, where everyone always gets in trouble on this is where they say, we expect it to be done in 14 days. And then the president of the university comes out and says, well, it'll be done when it'll be done. And then he goes, well, actually, it'll be done on Sunday. I'm like, okay, well, which is it? Now
right.
Nobody believes anything that you're saying, and people are already questioning the legitimacy of this investigation anyway. So, again, getting back to Zach Smith, I think that part of the revelations made by McMurphy's report on Friday, did Urban Meyer know about that? What was done about that? I think that would be of some importance to Ohio State's investigation. Beyond that, I think the context of this is, again, that Zach Smith is, I guess for lack of a better word, he's this weird, bad guy. And if that is the case, even though people have their private lives that you may not know a whole lot about, that this guy is on your staff for a long period of time, and if he's out there playing with fire, taking, pics of his you-know-what and whatever, and people are talking, you're going to tell me that you don't know anything about this guy, and then, right at the very end, you fire him. Again, I think that's really the takeaway from all of this here is, on one hand, a lot of this stuff is not Urban Meyer's responsibility. On the other hand, it kind of is, because if you have this type of guy on your staff and you catch whispers here and there about stuff and you either don't follow through on them or you don't follow through enough or – whatever it is with Urban and Zach Smith, that this guy's on staff for clearly way too long. And I think that's, again, where you kind of wrote Meyer into it. It's not that he's doing all of these things. It's that he's either allowing it to happen or not doing enough to just get rid of this guy.
Right. And I think ultimately what's going to decide the fate of Urban Meyer, well, it's going to be a boardroom full of people, but I think it'll be the domestic abuse allegations about Zach Smith that he knew about going back to Florida. And
right.
We were figuring out how much he knew at Ohio State. That will ultimately be what brings him down, if, in fact, that happens. We're talking with Ben Kirchhoff from CBSSports.com. Ben, with all of this, okay, take the stuff that came out in the last couple of days out of this. Okay, we'll take that out. Just with the domestic abuse alone. Is there any way Urban Meyer can survive this? I mean, this is – you're talking about a university with what? Probably $1 billion endowment. It's one of the most recognized brands in the country, and this is what they're going to be talking about the entire season. If they were to make it to the national championship game, the lead story would be they survived all of this. That will be the story, not how well they played, but about this story and these – sordid stories about this fired assistant coach.
Well, if they make it to the national championship and if Zach Smith beat up Courtney Smith, the only survivor on this is Courtney Smith.
I mean, right.
Ohio State didn't have to survive anything. They're not the victims in this.
Pat, I chose my words poorly on there.
Well,
if Ohio State happens to make it through.
Yeah, I'm not coming on down on you for that. I'm just saying, there are those 200 protesters outside of Ohio State Stadium for Urban Meyer. Look, I don't know exactly what Urban Meyer knew or didn't know regarding this. Hopefully we find the truth in that. And if he reported it like he says he did, then I don't know that you really do have enough to fire him. You might fine him. You might suspend him for, you know, not doing more. You know, whatever it is that you decide you want to do as a punitive measure. But if they generally find that, you know, he did what he said he did, then I don't know that there is much that you can do. But Urban Meyer is not a victim here, right? No, Ohio State football is not the victim. So, like, once again, I mean, the people who protest these things, and, you know, they're generally – they're not the brightest bunch, and they
– No, it was as we much saw it at Penn State.
The media as anything else. So, I just – they're not the victims here. I think ultimately Meyer – my guess today is that he survives this unless something else comes out. But again, that is if he – if he did what he said he did. If he didn't, and he's already lied once about even knowing about it, then I think it's a completely different discussion.
Absolutely. We're talking with Penn Kercheval from CBSSports.com. We'll switch it here, and another story that's just dominating the headlines that has I wouldn't say off the field because things are happening on the field, but the situation at the University of Maryland, who's already had an athletic trainer resign, a couple of more suspended, their head coach is on administrative leave. They had a young man who suffered symptoms of a heat stroke back in the summer. By the accounts that I've read, he was being hauled around the practice field by the training staff with his head slunk back. He was way too hot. He was running – he's an offensive lineman – running 110-yard sprints. My God, Ben. They take him back to the trainer's room when apparently he just can't walk anymore. They don't ice him down, which you're supposed to do in this situation. That's what I'm told. They wait an hour before calling an ambulance, and then several days later, the young man dies. Ben, I read this story, and while I'm sad, I'm even more angry. And I talked about this with your colleague Dennis Dodd a little bit about it last week, and he used the term Neanderthal mentality, which I think is very fitting for this situation. First of all, why the hell are we running 110-yard sprints with 350-pound linemen? That's dumb. That's unproductive, and it's dumb. I realize guys need conditioning, but to me that's just dumb. And the way it was handled was so bad, and then you had – current and former players come out saying, yeah, well, you know, this has been going on for a long time, and it gets worse and worse. And look, I don't know there's proof of that, but certainly the allegations are there. I don't think this coach survives. This program is in trouble, and I'm just stunned that here we are in 2018 with everything we know about hydration, about nutrition, about health and fitness and safety, that these things still keep happening. This is dumb, and it's gosh, I'll say it. It's criminal.
Well, it's malpractice at the very least. And like you said, with the advancements in modern medicine and what we know about the human body, and, you know, Chip Kelly is like – he has one of the things that he gets lauded for is that he's usually on the forefront of how to take care of the athlete today because they're his weapon, right? They are – that's what he uses to go out and win football games. So he knows, like, okay, that's a product of mine, and it's like a car. Like, if you take care of it, it will take care of you. And that's how he views it, in, like, this very sort of scientific way. And getting that back to Maryland, look, I'm not going to comment on the conditioning practices themselves because, you know, every program in the country, especially when there's sort of a new coaching regime in town where, and you always hear these stories, right, about, we're changing the culture. And fans eat that crap up, right? Like, it's just, oh, the new guy.
Oh, sure. Every coach says
things.
It.
So part of that is they make those first couple years absolutely miserable for everybody because they're
– Well, they want to run off the guys they don't want.
Right. They want to run off the guys they don't want and the ones who have the mental and physical fortitude to get through it. And there is a certain gladiator hero you know, factor that plays into that. And a lot of this is a little bit archaic in that, because this is what was done X decades ago, right? This is what we're going to do now, even though
right.
modern medicine and everything else has advanced on this. And what you did 20, 30 years ago may not be best practices today. But every single program in the country goes through these phases where it's like, we're going to weed out the people who we don't want. We're going to make life miserable for everybody. But then on the other side of that, what you have to do is you got to make sure that you're taking care of them, obviously. You need to be, I think, there for them emotionally. If you're going to really tear them down like that and break them, you got to be able to build them back up. They're not, you know, they're not professionals. They're semi-pros maybe, but they're not professionals yet. You got to be there for them. And just, you know, you hear that, to me, that beyond the Jordan McNair situation and his death, the other thing that was just very disturbing was, you know, the allegations that, you know, like, this kid can't lose weight, so they're forcing him to eat candy bars in front of his teammates.
I was disgusted when I read that.
Let me ask you, who does that help? Who's, like, what benefit is that serving? I get pushing people beyond what they think they can do, but what's that? What's that helping? And that's where I know the head coach, head trainer, strength conditioning coach got fired, but every coach will tell you their first hire is the strength and conditioning coach. That is the coach.
Absolutely.
They are tethered to the hip on, because those athletes spend more time with the strength and conditioning coach than anybody else throughout the course of the season. So that is their most important hire. And if they're, as you know, if they're buddy-buddy, and let me tell you something, no one's doing anything in any program without the approval of the head coach. Right, they're checking off all of the boxes. And so even though there's malpractice, evidence of malpractice by the strength and conditioning staff, DJ Durkin is not in the dark on these things. And that is, if you're telling people we're going to make you eat until you throw up because you can't gain weight, or we're going to be throwing weights at you in the weight room because you're not doing exactly what, you know, what we want, I mean, that's – it's barbaric. And did you ever see, and this is not a perfect analogy, but did you ever see Whiplash, the movie?
It's been a while. Yeah, it's been.
It's like that. It's like Terrence
Fletcher. It's a good movie, though.
Slapping them and throwing stuff at them. And, like, it's that. Like, except on a much, much, like, just worse level. And, again, I get pushing people beyond what they think. Every program does that. But there's a line, and the line is, you know it's crossed, unfortunately, when the absolute, you know, worst-case scenario comes to fruition.
The example I thought of, they had the one kid they forced to eat until he was ready to throw up. They had another kid who apparently wasn't lifting weights properly or something, so he had to stand in the weight room while everybody else worked out, and just stand in the corner and eat candy bars. And look, I get holding people accountable. If you're not doing your job, if you're not up to par, you hold people accountable. But personally, shaming and embarrassing people, I mean, my God, I'll say it again, it's 2018. You can figure out ways to motivate somebody without just mortifying and embarrassing them in front of a room full of people. And those are kids. He's got to go back to the dorms or the apartment complex, or he's got to go to the team dinner later that night. He has to be with those kids every day. And then everybody's going to look at him. Oh, there's the kid that had to eat 25 candy bars while we were working out. And that's an awful culture. That is just awful.
Well, and again, if you're going to push people, they're going to do it if they trust you. And if someone dies on your watch, and then you don't make any type of adjustment to your, no one's going to trust you. Everyone's just going to think, like, you know, you're crazy. You got somebody killed, and you're not going to do anything about it. And then on top of that, you know, I was listening to the press conference last week with Wallace Lowe and the president and the athletic director, and then, you know,
it was awful.
There's like, well, you know, we apologize to the family. This is our fault. So, okay, but it took you 2 months to do that. It took you 2 months to do that. The strength and conditioning coach released a statement that, you know, that he had resigned. Jordan McNair's name came up in, like, the third paragraph. And it's just how little you might care now, but everyone always cares after they get caught. And how little did you care about not just Jordan McNair, but about everyone in that program that this much time passed with seemingly little to no remorse? And that's the thing that just, that boggles my mind, is the absolute worst thing happened. Remember, you are going in, those parents of those kids are handing their kid off to you. You are in charge of their kid. And that's why so many coaches say, like, I have 110 sons. Because to some coaches, that's what they are. They are basically your kids. And you might push them and you might hold them accountable, but at the end of the day, you are taking care of them because their parents aren't there to do that. And to me, it is absolutely mortifying that something like this would happen and the ensuing feet dragging would be what it was.
Yeah, I'm just, you know what, like I said, I wake up every day wondering if I'm going to see the end of the moral depravity that you see on occasion, and every day I find something to think, nope. It's just, we're going to have people who just stink, and that's always going to be the case. We're talking with Ben Kercheval, CBSSports.com, covers college football. You're listening to Sports Saturday, Sports Radio 810 WHB, as we broadcast live from Nebraska Furniture Mart at the Legends in KCK. Ben, on the field, you've got a lot of stuff coming out, a lot of preseason stuff. You've been to different camps and things. What are you most looking for? It can be a game. It can be a player. It can be maybe a stadium setting. What are you looking forward to most about the opening week of the college football season?
This is going to sound really simple and almost like a cop-out answer. I'm just ready to just watch and play.
I'll take it.
We're in talking season. And right now,
right, exactly.
I'm filling out each, you know, conference preview. Who's the most overrated team? Here's the most underrated team. Here's this bold prediction. And I'll say, here's an insider secret to everyone listening who reads this stuff and gets mad about it. You know what it is? We don't know. It's a guess. I mean, we can take an educated guess. We don't know any more than the next person. It's just, it's talk. It's fodder. And it's fun, and it's something to do, like, you know, twiddling your thumbs until the season gets started. It's harmless. It is what it is. But I'm like everyone else. I'm ready to just play. If I'm wrong on a preview, I don't care. It's go out there and play the game. We're ready to do it. So that, to me, I'm ready to get back to it, watch it unfold, and it just get back to covering the game. And that's why we do it. It's why we grind for 6 months out of the year. And, you know, we talk a lot about what we think we know from, you know, January to August. And then, you know, it's all over and doesn't matter anymore. So I'm getting to that point where I'm in talking season, but I'm ready for just kick it off and let's get going.
You're done with the 10 things to keep an eye on in week one in the SEC. I totally get it. I wonder, when you write something, let's take a random, let's take Alabama, the biggest brand in college football. So if you write something good about Alabama, like Alabama is clearly number one, do you hear from Alabama fans or are they quiet? And on the other side, if you write something negative, like Alabama's overrated, it's going to be Clemson and Notre Dame this year. I'm just making these names up. Do you get crushed by Alabama fans or fans of any school?
Yeah, usually it's anyone. I don't know. It's hard for me to answer that because people get mad about the, like, really strangest things. We did a best team in every single state this year. Barrett Salee and I did, and most of them are easy. Like 42 out of the 48 states for Division I teams are easy, right? It's a no brainer. There's about a half dozen that you actually have to talk about, but like, I was getting tweets and mail, like, someone said the best team in Missouri was Missouri State. I'm like, what? Just people will get mad about the really strangest thing. Someone, Montana, someone someone objected to my Montana pick. I mean, that like that's what I'm dealing with. Sometimes it's not even the Alabamas or the Notre Dames or the Georgias or the Floridas or the Tennessees. Sometimes it's those like voices way off in the boonies that
right.
have something to say about it. And so I look at it this way. If everyone's mad at you, it just means you're doing your job about as fairly as you could possibly do. So
that means they're reading
people it. People are passionate about it. I'm less passionate about it, so you know, less passionate in terms of like I don't care. I don't care who wins, I don't care who loses.
I'll give credit. Missouri State is a very fine football program. I like him. A lot of kids from Kansas City and in the metro area go play there, but it's not on the same level with Mizzou. Hey, Ben, I thank you very much, and thank you for your selection of Van Halen's Panama to open up this segment. Always love the Van Halen. Good choice.
All right, man. Thank you.
All right, enjoy your Saturday. That is Ben Kirchival, CBSSports.com. Follow him on Twitter, at Ben Kirchival. He writes a lot of what I call entertaining stuff. He's got an interesting way to look at things, and I really enjoy his writing and when he comes on the show. So that is Ben Kirchival. We're coming up on a timeout here. We are broadcasting live from Nebraska Furniture Mart at the Legends in Kansas City, Kansas. We are like a corner kick away from Children's Mercy Park, where Sporting tonight is going to play Portland. And we got lots of stuff going on out here. We got lots of games. They got grill demos going on here. It's part of the National Kickoff Day. Get you ready for football season. So they got the grill demos, beer and liquor tastings. I know it's like 10:30, but, you know, beer and liquor tastings. The foosball tournament is already booked. All those spots are taken, but you can still register to get into the cornhole competition, the hot dog eating competition, lots of great prizes to give away. And the big thing today is they're giving away 13 televisions, 13 TVs they're giving away today here at Nebraska Furniture Mart in KCK. Also stop by the 810 WHB table. We've got the Football Insider magazine. We've got the 810 koozies. We've got the coasters. Plus, you can register for a chance to win tickets to the Chiefs and Packers exhibition game, which will be the final one for 2018. That's coming up in a couple of weeks. All right, quick timeout. My name is Brad Porter. Charlie Carlin is out here with me at Nebraska Furniture Mart. Jeb Marshall is back in the Rally House studios, and you're listening to Sports Radio 810 WHB.
This is Sports Saturday on Sports Radio 810 WHB.
Sports Saturday, Sports Radio 810 WHB. My name is Brad Porter. We're broadcasting live from Nebraska Furniture Mart at the Legends in KCK. About I'd say a corner kick or a Matt Beisler throw-in across the street from Children's Mercy Park, where Sporting will take on Portland tonight at 7:30. It's live on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Nate Bucati will have the call, and Nate Bucati will join us at 11:25 to talk about the Sporting matchup after a couple of good road wins over the last couple of weeks down in Houston, out in Southern California against LAFC. Nate will also talk about the big steps of KC, which raises money for cancer research, and they've got the big run coming up tomorrow. Jed Marshall is going to read the runner's prayer. Jed is back in our Rally House studios. Charlie Carlin is out here with me at Nebraska Furniture Mart. Lots of good stuff to give away out here. 13 televisions they're giving away today. So get out here. We're going to be out here till noon, but there's stuff going on all day out here at Nebraska Furniture Mart. And again, they've got the grill demos, the beer and liquor tastings, the 13 TVs, the cornhole competition, the hot dog eating competition with prizes. The foosball tournament is going on, but it's all full, but you can still register for cornhole and the hot dog eating. Casey Wolf is going to be out here at noon, and this is all part of National Kickoff Day. Get your cave, get your basement, get your rec room, get your patio all set up for the football season, with the TVs, with the speakers, with the couches, with the chairs, all the stuff for your bars, anything in your house, whatever it is. Good stuff out here at Nebraska Furniture Mart. Also, stop by the 810 broadcast location. Pick up your copy of the Sports Radio 810 Football Insider magazine. Great-looking cover with Patrick Mahomes on the cover. I just said cover twice. A great cover with Patrick Mahomes on the cover. You can also get the 810 koozies, the 810 coasters, and you can register for a chance to win tickets to the Chiefs-Packers preseason game, which will be the final one for 2018. All right, we finished up with Ben Kirchival from CBSSports.com in the last segment, and a couple of things, I guess, to unpack there. Start with the Maryland situation. people are going to be fired. Okay? A young man died due to what was going on at football practice. It's reported it was heat stroke. When he got to the hospital, when they finally took him off the field after being carried around by the trainers because he couldn't hardly walk from one drill to the next, they finally took him off the field, got him back into the trainer's room, waited an hour before calling an ambulance. By the time he got to the hospital, his body temperature was 106 degrees. 106 degrees. That tells me a lot of things. One, why wasn't he packed in solid ice? That's one of the things you're supposed to do, is what the story I read said. But they carried him around the field. They kept him going. And then he collapsed. He had a seizure. And the man died. And the reports coming out since then, according to current and former players, is that these practices and the things that Coach Durkin was doing, he's been doing. The brutal practices. His staff trainer and strength and conditioning coach throwing weights at players, forcing players to eat until they throw up, forcing a kid to stand in the weight room eating candy bars while everybody else worked out. It's a shame and embarrass these kids. They're getting fired, folks. I don't know how many coaches on the staff are getting fired, but that head coach is going to be fired, and he should. He should have been fired yesterday. I understand. They have legal requirements. We have to do an investigation. We have to do our due diligence. I'm sure there's protection in the contract that says, okay, if he's accused of this, we do an investigation. You have to have proof. I'm sure all that exists. I'm sure they're going through the protocols. But this coach is going to be fired. Jed, I'm just telling you, he's going to be fired. It's in my opinion, the sooner the better, but I understand there's things you have to do legally.
I know that no formal decision will be made until tomorrow in both this case and what they're going to do ultimately with Urban Meyer, and we can get to that here in a second. But as Ben said, when a coach is hired, he knows exactly what the strength and conditioning coach does. It's like, you know, his right-hand man.
It's like his best friend, yeah.
Exactly. So for the coach to know that all this has gone on and apparently been employing these practices for a really long time, I'm sure it's like anything, that more and more athletes will come out who've been affected by this at the program, and yeah, this the guy's done. It's, I don't mean to laugh at a very serious matter, but what an idiot. And I football's a weird game, and I'm fortunate I never was big enough or athletic enough to play, and the one season I did, I broke my thumb and couldn't play the rest of the year in eighth grade. But I don't understand how that mindset and culture can still be so prevalent in 2018 when we know so much more about medicine and different things and the horrors that can be created when you play football and post football, that these coaches can still be employing this kind of strategy. It's baffling to me.
Well, let's put it this way. Okay, you go up to a Chiefs training camp in St. Joe. You can't do it now because they're back in Kansas City for good now. But you go to a training camp in St. Joe, and you watch the Chiefs practice. Sometimes they're in full pads. Sometimes they hit. Sometimes they don't hit. Sometimes they're in what they call shells, which are like those soft padded. They're kind of like shoulder pads. They give you the feeling that you're wearing pads, but they're not really there for anything. And sometimes they're in T-shirt and shorts. They're out on the field for two and a half hours. And I would say, for the most part, it's not as exhausting as it used to be back in the Marty days when it was 2 days at 3 hours a crack in the heat of the day. It's not like that anymore. The NFL and its Players Association, and let's give credit to the Players Association because they've stood up to the owners and say, no, you're not doing this to us anymore. We're not doing 2 days at 3 hours a crack in the blazing heat. We're not doing that anymore. You get one practice a day for two and a half hours. We're only going to hit on a limited number of days, and then we're going to go spend the 7 or 8 hours in the weight room, in film study, in team meetings. That's where we're going to put the emphasis. We'll get enough done on the field where we can execute our game plan, but most of the stuff is going to take place behind the scenes, in the offices, in the meeting rooms, and things like that.
I think it was Dennis.
And Dennis Dodd brought.
Yeah.
Well, just to finish the thought, Dennis Dodd brought this up last week from CBSSports.com. The players need representation. because these coaches who are so desperate for whether it's wins, whether it's money, whether it's attention, whether it's status, whether it's the bigger job, whatever it is, they will grind players into the absolute freaking ground if it gets them what they want and where they need to be. Not every coach. Let's not throw every coach in this, but there are enough where this happens and kids have died to where you know the health of the player, and the players don't have representation. There's going to come a point where they will or they'll need to. It has to happen, or things like this are just going to keep happening.
I agree with you, and I was just going to say, yeah, it was Dennis Dodd who was on with us last Saturday who had kind of talked about how the college players need to collectively bargain in a sense. I don't really know how you would go about that. There has to be a way. I guess they could all strike or do whatever in an effort to get more humane practice, you know, I don't know, not qualifications, but limitations moving forward. But, yeah, to me, I guess the issue comes from just thinking about where the big-time college football programs are. Alabama is in Tuscaloosa, like Columbus maybe withstanding because it's actually a big city in Ohio. But the men who run these programs make so much money and have so much power just around those towns that they think they can do whatever they want and get away with it. It's just
because they've been allowed to.
Exactly. I guess that's the point that I'm making, is that until these people are put into check, this is going to continue to go on. So, again, I don't know how you collectively bargain and or get the balance of power away from the coaches who are making $8 million a year and basically running, you know, Nick Saban gets votes for mayor in Alabama, for Christ's sake.
How would that work out if Nick Saban were a town mayor?
I mean, it couldn't be any worse than some of our political situations going on.
Sure. Yeah, on the subject of representation, I was just looking up. Northwestern University was the last case I can remember of a group of players threatening to unionize. And I hate to use the word threaten, but they had to. They had to tell the team that, or the school, we're going to unionize. And I'm going through the story here. It's an old SI.com story. But Northwestern football players were talking about creating their own union. And players getting together, and they were, I can't remember all of the issues. I'm trying to scan through the story real quick while I'm talking on the air. They wanted to unionize the football team. And we're coming up on a break here in a couple of minutes. I won't be able to get to all the detail. Here's what it is. So the players at Northwestern had deep concerns about issues such as long-term health care for college athletes. They signed union cards, which were actually got to the point of being filed so they could take a public position. That's the last big one I can think of. What's going to have to happen is they'll have to find a situation like the Ed O'Bannon lawsuit against the NCAA for not making money off his image in a video game. That's what it'll have to be. There'll have to be a group of lawyers or some union that wants to reach out to the athletes and convince how many Division I football players are there? A couple thousand?
Yeah.
And convince them all, and convince either all of them or a large majority of them it's a really good idea.
I laugh at that because the Ed O'Bannon case just got settled. It was going on for years and years.
It started 15 years ago,
yeah,
I think.
Soren, Rob was out the week that he booked Ed O'Bannon, so I had to help Soren record that, and that was maybe 6 months ago. And
right.
It was going on in 1994 when he was playing. You're like, oh, my God. So I agree with you that is the stance that someone's going to have to take, but just looking at the way that's, you know, snailed along for as long as possible. If it takes 15 years, like, what other atrocities are going to happen with these kids?
Well, and there's the thing. We shouldn't even have to talk about a players association or a union for college athletes. Colleges and universities are run by alleged adults. This shouldn't be hard to figure out. It should not be hard to figure out how to properly train young men and women who are involved in college athletics. It should not be difficult. The available scientific information and data that is out there today versus 5, 10, 15, 20 years ago. Go back to Bear Bryant, where he had guys running themselves half to death. We know so much more now. This should not be hard to put together a manual. Well, having the NCAA put together a manual is not a good idea, but it shouldn't be hard to have protocols in place that you just don't do this. By the way, be a friggin' human being once in a while. How about that? Be a human being and treat those kids like human beings. On that note, we'll take a timeout. We're going to try to bring the show up because that was kind of a downer 30 to 45 minutes. So let's talk about something good. We'll do that. Coming up at 11:25, speaking of something good, Nate Bicady is going to join us, talk Sporting KC and talk big steps for KC. Got a lot of good stuff going on out there. Sporting a big game tonight at 7:30 against Portland at Children's Mercy Park. You can hear it here live on Sports Radio 810 WHB. We are broadcasting live from Nebraska Furniture Mart out at the Legends in KCK. Lots of fun stuff going on. It's part of the National Kickoff Day celebration. Getting ready for football season, stuff for your cave, where it's TVs, speakers, stuff for your bar, couches, TVs. They're giving away 13 televisions today. 13. And when you're walking in, stop out front. They've got cornhole going on. They'll have a hot dog eating competition. Those officially start at 3. You can register at 2, but you can play. They got it all set up outside. They've also got grill demonstrations already underway. They have beer and liquor tastings, if you're so inclined, at 10:45, but that's okay. No judgment on my part. Also, Casey Wolf is going to be out here at noon, and you can stop by the 810 table broadcast location. We've got the 810 Football Insider, the nice magazine, high gloss, with Patrick Mahomes the second on the cover. Got koozers. We've got coasters you can have for free. You can also register for a chance to win tickets to the final exhibition game of 2018 between the Chiefs and Packers at Arrowhead Stadium. My name is Brad Porter. Charlie Carlin is out here with me at Nebraska Furniture Mart. Jed Marshall's back in the Raleigh House Studios, and you're listening to Sports Radio 810 WHB.
This is Sports Saturday on Sports Radio 810 WHB. We gotta stay.
Welcome back to Sports Saturday, Sports Radio 810 WHB. My name is Brad Porter. We're broadcasting live from Nebraska Furniture Mart at the Legends in KCK, right across the street from Children's Mercy Park, where Sporting will be taking on Portland tonight. Nate Bicady going to join us in the next hour to talk about that, as well as his big steps run tomorrow. Charlie Carlin is out here with me. Jed Marshall is back in the Rally House Studios. We just wrapped up with Ben Kercheval from CBSSports.com. Good discussion on some of the downers, the latest embarrassment for The Ohio State University, what's going on in Maryland. So some good stuff there from Ben. We'll have it podcasted for you later, which you can get at 810WHB.com. We also had Matt Derrick back in hour number one from ChiefsDigest.com to talk about the performance last night against the Falcons. A mix of good and not so good for Patrick Mahomes the second, but it's a preseason game. You'll see him in game number three. You will not see him in game four. The starters are basically, I was going to say persona non grata, but that's not the term that fits there. They're basically in T-shirts and ball caps for game number four. So
you get a lot of Chase Litton, though.
You're going to see, if you want to see Chase Litton play quarterback for the Chiefs, game four against the Packers at Arrowhead Stadium is going to be your chance.
Alex
if you
Ellis?
Got your Litton, Alex Ellis. You're going to see Jason Morrow. You're going to see all those guys. Ben Neiman from Iowa get a start probably in that fourth game. Yeah, if you've got your Chase Litton personalized jersey that you paid $350 for and you want to see him get in a game, that fourth game, you're going to get all the Chase Litton you can handle.
Who's our backup running back you mentioned? Algernon something or other?
Oh, that's the fullback.
Yeah, the backup fullback. That doesn't
Algernon
matter.
Seren had looked it up the other day. I guess the pronunciation is different, but yeah.
Well, if we're trusting Seren for pronunciation, I think we're in trouble.
If you want Algernon as your fullback, game four at Arrowhead Stadium is for you. And you can register to get tickets for that game here at our broadcast location at Nebraska Furniture Mart. All right, we're going to take a quick phone call. We're coming up on the end of the hour, but our good friend Tommy Moe checks in. Tommy, how are you on this Saturday afternoon?
Hey, doing all right. I'm probably the only person in the KC metro area that's never walked into Nebraska Furniture Mart. I hear it's a great place, great deal,
it's,
but I
it's
may be
huge.
The lone Kansas Cityan that's never walked into that fine establishment.
We found the one guy, and it's Tommy Moe.
Yeah.
You get lost in here. When I come out here and I've got the family out here, I'll wander off to go look. Obviously, I'm going to wander over to the HD TVs, but all the electronics and all that, I wander off, and then I all of a sudden turn around, and my family's gone off somewhere else, and you can get lost for an hour and a half in here quite easily.
Yeah, we saw a few good things yesterday, but the best thing we heard about a chief yesterday was about a former chief. Do you know where I'm going?
Oh, boy. No, I don't. Oh, yes. You know what? I think maybe I do.
There you go.
Because
I have a
story in the stack I was meaning to get to, and I was going to save it for next hour. But if I'm correct, and I'm reading your brainwaves correctly, you're talking about former Chief Safety Johnny Robinson making the seniors finalist list for the Pro Football Hall of Fame. And Dave Scretta from the Associated Press is out here at Nebraska Furniture Mart. I knew we'd get the big dogs out here today. Johnny Robinson.
Long overdue. Let me ask Jed this. Jed, in 9 years, Eric Berry has 14 interceptions. Johnny Robinson, I want to say, played 12, 13 years for the Chiefs. How many interceptions do you think he had?
65.
Close.
Guess. Most people guess. It, including the playoffs, you might be right. He had 57 in his career, and he's the only player that's on the All-NFL Decade Team for the 60s that's not in the Pro Football Hall of Fame. Long overdue. He was a clutch safety, if there was such a word for a clutch safety. We talk a lot about Eric Berry and his clutch plays with his 14 interceptions. This guy had four times as many interceptions, probably close to four and a half, in his career, and not including the playoffs. He had 57. So, yeah, he was many generations before all of us. If we can remember, I was just a mere infant when he was around, but this guy was a player. He played running back his first 2 years for the Texans when the Chiefs were the Texans. And it's long overdue, guys. So I'm happy. You wanted something great to talk about, Brad? There it is, Johnny Robinson, Pro Football Hall of Fame. I guess he's the lone veteran committee nominee, and that's pretty much an assurance of him getting in.
Yeah, Tommy Mo, good stuff. I appreciate your phone call. I'm coming up on the end of the hour break, but that's a good way to bring the show up. And look, I wasn't around much for the Johnny Robinson years. Played 10 years, and you're right, 57 interceptions. But here's what I'll say: during my time working in television at the channel formerly known as Metro Sports, we had to do several stories over the years on the Chiefs Super Bowl championship team. And I got to go through all of that old video, and it's saved somewhere. I wish I would have archived it myself, because I'm sure it's going to get lost in the shuffle considering certain things that are happening. But I got to see the video of Johnny Robinson playing in those playoff games and that Super Bowl game. And you're right. I was reading through the story. I did not realize that when the AFL came into existence to challenge the NFL, Johnny Robinson was the very first player taken, number one overall by the then Dallas Texans. Played a couple of years at running back, switched to safety in his third year, racked up 57 interceptions in 10 seasons. Jed, when you look at those numbers, and look, the Hall of Fame committee has these debates every year. It's closed doors. They can't tell you much about it. But when you just look at the pure numbers, not to mention what everybody else says about Johnny Robinson's talent, just the numbers, it's a shame it's taken this long to get him in. I'm just glad he is still alive. And it's not done yet, but it's almost a sure thing at this point. But it's a shame he hasn't been in before this.
Agreed. And thanks to Tommy Mo for the history lesson, and also for bringing a positive spin to the end of, you know, the second hour. So I appreciate that. Yeah. Good call from Tommy.
Good stuff. I got to meet several of the Chiefs Super Bowl team many years ago. There was an event out at the old Great Mall of the Great Plains, and they brought in every living member of the Chiefs Super Bowl championship team. So Fred White and I got to interview him for our television station at the time, the late Fred White. It met so many nice people, and Johnny Robinson was just the picture of class. He's an LSU guy, so he's from the Bayou, and he just couldn't be a nicer guy. And he was telling me some of the things he did in his career, and I was like, why are you not in the Pro Football Hall of Fame again?
When you were out at the Great Mall, did you get a bunch of JNCOs and Insane Clown Posse and wrestling t-shirts?
No, I didn't shop. I didn't,
that's all they had.
I didn't really shop. I didn't shop at the Great Mall. Boy, there's a classic shining example of a complete waste of money. That whole project. How many millions did those people lose that invested in that?
A lot. That thing was a turd.
It was a disaster from the start. Oh, my God. Welcome to the largest ball in the state of Kansas. Okay, great. All right, on that note, we'll take a timeout. Coming up in the next hour, we'll have Jed Lyons, where Jed Marshall is going to read stories from the world of sports or outside of sports. I don't know what they are, and I'll react to them. And then also, Nate Bucati from the Border Patrol is going to join us, talk Sporting KC and big steps for KC. Quick timeout. You're listening to Sports Saturday live from Nebraska Furniture Mart on Sports Radio 810 WHB.
This is Sports Saturday on Sports Radio 810 WHB.